Option number one, the candidate for president is Hoyd, and his running mate is Renarin, and they're running against Marcy for president with Wax as her vice president, which is what, like Combs Ladrian or something like
Combs
that?
Combs Ladrian versus Sophandrius Colin.
Yep. Who are you voting for?
This is a great question and I hate it.
Ah.
I thought I had a knee-jerk reaction of an answer to this, but it's actually harder than I think.
Mm-hmm. I knew I'd get you with that too.
Welcome back to Following No One on the Stormlight Podcast. We have a special video for today. What I'm titling Cosmere Contentious Opinions, a version of a yes or no game. Paul, how are you?
Fantastic. This is the new thing. We had to do a little practice run to make sure we could do this. Not to make sure we could do it, but to make sure we understood the premise. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be exciting. I think this might be one of the most telling pieces of content we do into each other. Like sharing what I, myself, Trevor, and Elliot like and don't like, which will be fun.
Elliot?
I'm doing great. I am way too competitive for my own good. So when you say there's a competitive game going on, I am all in, and all I have to have is opinions about the Cosmere. So yeah, I got those. Let's go.
You do have to have opinions about the Cosmere to play this. That's not how you get points though. So the format of this video is each of us are going to go around and make a claim about the Cosmere, and we will each decide whether we agree or disagree with the claim, and then we will go around the circle and predict how each other answered, and if we predict how each other answered the question, that is how we score points. So if I guess correctly how Paul answered the question, then I get a point. If Paul guesses correctly how I answered the question, Paul gets a point. It'll make sense. Let's just jump right into it. I will start with my first question. I will start with my first opinion. Number one, the unmade are largely uninteresting and boring right now, but have potential to be very cool.
Okay. So I'm writing down my answer, and then I'm writing down what I think you two blokes think about this.
Correct.
I've not known Paul for nearly as long as I know you, Trevor, but I can read all of his thoughts in his eyes over the camera all the way from Colorado to Texas, so I can predict his answers to a T. I'm very confident.
We all ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, Paul, let's guess Elliot first. Elliot thinks the unmade are cool, so he answered no.
I agree. I think that Elliot also thinks that the unmade are pretty cool, pretty at least fascinating from like a scientific standpoint. Therefore, no.
Yep, Paul's got me pinned. Unmade, not as well fleshed out as maybe some other things, but definitely intriguing. So the answer to your question is no.
All right, Elliot, let's do Paul.
All right. I think that Paul says yes. I think he's mildly interested in the unmade. I think he's ready to be more interested, but of all the things in the Cosmere, specifically Stormlight, there are other things that catch his attention more, so he says that unmade are less interesting.
I also said that. Paul sees potential in unmade, but is largely uninterested right now.
I'm a bit surprised. I said no. I certainly wrote down no. I think the unmade are very interesting. If you want to talk about uninteresting characters, we could talk about all the unpopular opinions that I've had about some of our supporting cast. I say that honestly, largely in jest. There are a lot of random characters, Exendweth, and random queens that I'm uninterested in. The Unmade, I will always tune into. I'm very intrigued. I think they're very exciting.
I'm surprised Teft did not get massively run over by a bus right there.
I was about to say, Bridgeboro was about to slip out of his mouth, but he held back.
I did, and I don't think that lily of all Bridgeboro. I need that to be known. I can't be known as a Bridgeboro hater. I'm just not Bridgeboro's number one fan. I'm like their like 200th fan. I'm like I'm not rushing to be front of the line, but yeah, I'll see them if they're nearby. You know,
fair enough.
So right. Paul, now we got to predict Trevor. Yes. What does he think about Unmade? What do you think Trevor thinks about Unmade?
Okay, so originally I was going to say yes. I thought that maybe he was uninterested in the Unmade. Maybe he thinks they're boring. But I said no, and that's my final answer. Largely based on, I think he's trying to trick me with the phrasing he read his question. He's like, the Unmade are boring and uninteresting. So I'm like, that leads me to say yes. I'm going to say no, he is interested in the Unmade.
I also said no, although I'm not very sure about this. I don't know that I know exactly how Trevor feels about the Unmade, even though we've spent 4.5 years, nearly 5, on a podcast talking about such things. I went with no. I think Trevor does find the Unmade interesting as we know them now.
You are both correct. The Unmade as a whole are pretty cool. Specifically, that not all Unmade are created equal. There are some that are quite boring and some that are really, really cool. The Thrill and Yelignar, specifically those top two, awesome. Midnight Mother, eh. But yes, I answered no. All right. I will throw it to Paul. Go for one of yours.
All right. Excited. I'm going to kick this off right away with my statement that Talonelot, Elin, I'm sorry, I'm trying to say the full name. Talonelot, how do you say it? Taun the Herald. Taun the Herald. Okay, I'm going to start over. Okay, cut. I'm going to start completely over. I thought I could say this. Okay. My statement is that Taun, our herald, is respectable, and he is the only respectable herald.
Ooh.
That's strong words.
You can let me know once you've picked your side, your yes or no.
Do I take the moral high road here, or do I stoop? I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. Then, Elliot, let's gang up on Trevor since he's ganged up on us for so many years. I'm curious to hear, what are your thoughts? What do you think Trevor would say? Is Taun respectable and the only respectable herald?
Tough one. I think Trevor is going to say no. Because I think that he will think of the heralds as they were. And even though our modern day heralds may have all fallen, there could still be ones that are respectable. So he's taking a very like literal definition of this. And can you prove there are no respectable heralds left besides Taun? No, you can't. So he said no.
I think that's good logic. And I think that makes sense. I said yes, and I don't necessarily think I'm right, but I think that he might go with the train of thought of Taun sticking to the suffering on behalf of Alethkar as respectable. But, you know, there's several respectable things about the formation of the heralds and then maybe in their original state. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say yes. That he agrees with the statement.
It was a tough one. The only does a lot of work in that statement. I wrote yes because, and I went back and forth on this a little bit, I think there is no excuse for abandoning Tallinn in Braze. There is zero excuse for abandoning your shard blade at Harri Etiam and leaving him alone to fend for himself. So yes.
Okay, Trevor, we're going to pin this back on Elliot. Okay, what do you think Elliot said to this question?
I think Shalash's apology at the end of Oathbringer does a lot for Elliot. Elliot values Shalash and Tallinn, and that is where the list ends. So technically, no, Tallinn is not the only one, but it's close.
I agree. I also put no. I think that he's going to make a case for other heralds being respectable in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, long story short, I put no.
I struggled with your word respectable, actually. There's different ways to go with that. I wasn't quite sure how to define it, but I tried not to think about it too hard. I did say no. I think there's enough to look at to find respect in other heralds. Are they all depraved, fallen? No, I don't think so. Shalash, yes, in that conversation. I'm not ready to dismiss Yezrian either. I think there's more to learn about him. Yeah, looks like you both score a point off me on that one.
Let's go. All right, Paul said yes. Paul is a huge Tallinn fanboy. There are no heralds that come close. He said yes.
I concur. He said yes.
You are both correct in your answer, but I want to check your reasoning, Trevor. I wouldn't consider myself a Tallinn fanboy, and I'm a big proponent of most of our heralds. This is one that I am taking the road of we admire Shalash for kind of being an aid to Tallinn in our story modern day, but the fact that none of the nine remaining heralds made a point to stay. Not one stayed back to try and stay with Tallinn or to try to endure. They all went back on him and he stayed. So that was the reasoning why. That's a rather tricky, divisive one. So, you know, coming out swinging.
All right, Elliot, what do you got for us? Oh, just a score check, by the way. Paul's at 4, I'm at 3, Elliot's at 2.
All right. I got a big one for you, boys. Here's a statement, yes or no. I plan to reach 15 rereads of Stormlight Era 1 in my lifetime. 15 rereads of Stormlight Era 1 across the entirety of your lifetime.
This is weighted against me, I would just like to say.
He did this to get a free point on you, Trevor.
He wants a free point against me. I declare it is rigged.
I don't know that this is as rigged as you might think. 15 is a
lifetime,
lot.
Lifetime could be a long time, you know.
15 is a lot.
It's a 15 lot.
Is a lot. That's true.
I originally wrote it as 10, and that felt like a gimme, and so I upped it to 15 to make it more thinky.
Trevor's already at like 8 or something. Not actually, but
I have read The Way of Kings 8 times. I have not read The Stormlight Archive 8 times.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's do Paul first, I guess. We haven't done Paul first. We'll do Paul first. On my question here, Stormlight Era 1, 15 rereads. I hesitated on this, actually, because Paul likes his audiobooks, and you can crank through a lot of rereads in an audiobook over the course of your lifetime for sure. But I said no. I think Paul is going to spend enough time rereading other things in the Cosmere or things outside the Cosmere that he will not have enough time in his life to do 15 Stormlight rereads.
I also said no. Paul is a solid Cosmere fan. He is not a fanatic and simply will not have enough time in his life to read the Stormlight Archive 15 times. Not to say he won't. He doesn't enjoy his reads. It's just that he doesn't recur that much.
You're both correct. I feel like there's no shot I read it 15 times. I think I will reread it. And it might just be two full times. That might be all I have. You know, it's fantastic. I'm sure it will be more than two, actually, but more like three max, not. I'll probably reread it whenever I have children old enough to read it.
Right.
And that will probably be the next and last time that I read through it. You know, it won't be on repeat. There's so much I have on a reading list after Stormlight that I don't think 15 will make it.
And now the intriguing one, Trevor. So we know Trevor's a super fan. We know he's already read Way of Kings many times. Do you think he'll get to 15 rereads of Stormlight Era 1 in his lifetime? Paul, what did you say?
I said yes. I think this could, if we were at the end of Stormlight 5, if we had finished the book, this could change depending on how it ends. It could leave a sour taste in his mouth. Fair. But it could also be like the spark that spurs he's got to read this 10 times in a row tonight. You know, he could be. I said yes, though. I think he will. I think he will continue. He's the diehard fan that's always going to be reading this. He said it himself. He can't read other stuff. Brandon Sanderson has spoiled him. He's going to be on the Stormlight loop for the rest of his life.
I have been on the record saying that.
Yeah.
I am also saying yes for similar reasons. My thought process behind this one is I have been shocked to see how hard Stormlight in particular has pulled Trevor out of Tolkien. And not that his love of Tolkien has dwindled at all, but the fact that Trevor hasn't read a Tolkien book in years because of Brandon Sanderson speaks volumes. Will Trevor get to 15 rereads of Stormlight Era 1? I think definitely yes.
Brief additional note. Trevor also has two kiddos, and there's no way that at some point in his life he does not read these books to his children.
Read them aloud?
That's another free one or two reads on top of his current count. So, yeah.
Okay. I want to be petty, but I wrote yes, so yeah. Both of you get a point. However, I would like to catch you both on a technicality. If you mean by read the Stormlight Archive 1 through 10, 15 times, my answer is probably no. But that's because I don't have enough time in my life to do that once 10 comes out.
I specifically said Era 1, Stormlight Era 1, because book 10 is not coming out until you are 57, and so... Right. You're not going to have enough time between then and when you die to get that done.
Okay. I guess I didn't hear that part. But second point, am I reading Edge Dancer 15 times before I die? I think the answer to that question is no, but I still answered yes because you both deserved a free point, I guess, with your stupid question, Elliot.
Oh, you guys still got to guess me.
Yeah, Elliot's a no. Not because he doesn't like it, but just because he has more and better things to read and move on.
I agree. I think Elliot will read this series a couple times. Once again, pulling the kiddos card, I could see Elliot reading this to his kids. But 15, I don't think he's going to make it to 15, especially sitting down reading the book. I don't think he's going to make it through the whole series 15 times.
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be, it's going to depend on two things. It's going to depend on how bored I get when I retire and how many other good fantasy series are out there 30 years from now. I did say no. You both have me. I think it will be close, though. I think I will hit double digits in my rereads of Stormlight Era 1. It is that good. I think it will have me coming back every few years to do a Stormlight reread, similar to how I do reread Tolkien's works. Will I get to 15, though? It's pretty high. I am going to get close, but I think not quite.
If it was 10,
yes,
I would question on your answer. But 15 is not happening. All right. The Cosmere would greatly benefit from a canon creation novel such as The Silmarillion.
Like a creation of the world story?
Yes.
I have mine.
I got it.
All right, Paul, what do you think Elliot wrote?
Elliot was the one I questioned more than myself and more than you. And I think I'm wrong in my answer, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because I think that Elliot might... I don't know. There's going to be some reasoning that I'm not even accounting for of like some... This story, this universe doesn't need it for X, Y, or Z reason. I'm going to say no.
I said yes. But it depends on how Elliot answered this question. If Elliot answered this question for him personally, I think it is a yes. If he answered it for a general reader, I think he would say no. But I said yes for Elliot.
You must be related to me or something because I think you read my mind on that one. You stated it well. My answer is yes. I would like to read that novel. I have all the questions. I would like to delve into that. I do think that Brandon would have to do it really well and differently.
Right.
It's a little bit of a stereotype in fantasy to have a creation myth at this point in history. It wasn't back when some of the earlier writers were doing it. But yeah, does everyone need that? Or are some people going to get lost in that and get confused? Like, yeah. So, but my answer is yes.
What about Paul, Elliot?
Paul says yes to this question. Paul is interested in this. I think Paul would like to read that story. And he's mentioned, I think I'm basing all of this entirely on one comment he made a very long time ago about Narnia and the creation of the world of Narnia. And so Paul has a nostalgia for that book that he read when he was 8 and wants to see the Cosmere version of that.
So Paul, unlike Elliot, did not answer this question for himself and said this Cosmere as a whole would not benefit because the mystique and the mystery feeds into it better. Not knowing is better than reading about it.
Elliot, you read my mind.
Ha.
I thought of the creation story and the magician's nephew of the Chronicles of Narnia. This is a resounding yes for me.
Darn it.
I like what you're saying, Trevor. You have good logic that I feel like if I thought about it very analytically, maybe I would make that point. However, for me, the positives and the excitement I have about a good creation origination story of the Cosmere far outweighs any negatives I could try to associate with it. I'm a sucker for a good creation story, the Silmarillion, Narnia, whatever it is, a good, you know, the songs of the Ainur. I could read it over and over and over. That is something that I would definitely will read 15 or more times in my life, no doubt. So I did say yes.
My turn.
Okay. I said for Trevor a yes. I think he wants this. It might be the reasoning he was talking about with us of like for the Cosmere reader, he might not think it's a wise choice. But I think Trevor wants it. So I'm gonna say yes.
I went the other way on that same knife edge. I said no, and I think he's thinking about I think he might have shared some of his thoughts there as he was analyzing us potentially of he enjoys the Cosmere having a bit of a unique mystery and not having all the questions answered. And so for us to always consistently wonder how the Cosmere was created and never know, he sees as a net benefit to the Cosmere.
We must be related. You are correct, Elliot, that I would enjoy it personally, but I said no because it is better. I think it lends the Cosmere that you do not know.
I do think super fast to weigh in. The Cosmere feels different to any other fantasy realm that I've read. And I do hope that stays the case throughout the entirety of its existence. And if Brandon did write about the creation of it, he'd have to do it in such a way that keeps the Cosmere feeling different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Quick point recap. I have everybody at 6. Is that correct for you guys?
That is correct. I was 100% until this round where I missed both.
All right. Paul.
Okay. Next question or next statement, jumping right in. We're going to, this one's a little bit about magic systems. Okay. The statement I'm saying, or that I'm asking a yes or no answer to, is I prefer to have my magic system rules hinted at rather than explained. I gave examples of hinted at, such as in maybe Yumi, versus explained, like in Mistborn.
This is a good question. I'm having trouble with you two.
I was going to say, I think this is the one of the questions I wrote that I've had the hardest time deciding for myself.
Your choice of words is tripping me up again.
Okay. I'd be happy to clarify if we need further clarification.
I think I know what you meant. I'm quibbling with the words that you, I think, intentionally chose.
Yeah. I can explain some of the reasoning I had when I came up with this question. The examples I gave of Yumi was a lot of the magic system, like the way that the magic works with stacking and attracting spirits and all the things, it's kind of revealed layer by layer by the end of the book. It is, I would say, quote, explained, but it's slowly but surely, versus Mistborn Era 1, they're like, okay, here's all the metals and here's what they do, you know, pretty early so you understand it going forward. So I guess it's really a know it earlier or know it later is more so the question. But saying I prefer to have it hinted at, as in I prefer to know about it by the end of the book versus knowing it from the early on. I don't know if that helps or if that's just more confusing. But
I understand.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Ready as I'm going to be.
Okay. Then in that case, Elliot, let's talk about Trevor. I think that Trevor said no. I think Trevor would prefer there to be explanations rather than hints along the way at the magic system.
I think Trevor really enjoys a good magic system, but would prefer when the magic system does not overshadow the plot and the characters. The problem is, I don't know that that actually informs my answer to this question of what he thinks about this. So I went with no, in that I think he'd rather the magic system be explained enough that it's not going to distract you from the character. So no.
I did say no. And it is for a specific reason. All the stuff that you just said about characters, Elliot, is correct. But if a character uses something that I do not know about in the Sanderlanch, that bothers me. If I knew about it and could figure it out beforehand, I like that better than not knowing beforehand. So if they pull something out of the hat, that bothers me. If it was explained enough to where I could have gotten there, not necessarily that I did, but if I think back to it, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's really cool. That's better for me. I answered no.
Okay. Trevor, for Elliot, I'll go ahead and say I said yes. I think Elliot likes piecing together the magic systems. I'm thinking largely in Sunlit Man. He put so much work into it. and I think he likes kind of the hints and nods along the way and getting to piece together how things work rather than just like the here's your lesson in chapter two. Now go have fun.
I also said yes for Elliot, but it's tough because when Elliot gets overly explained, he actually kind of likes that and pulls out the graph.
That's true.
But
that's true.
I don't know. I said yes, but I'm not convinced.
Okay.
Yes, this was a tough one to answer the way you phrased it because I really love the lore explanations. I want to get those explanations. I prefer a Stormlight or even a Mistborn format where we do spend time diving into the systems of magic. Now, your example kind of threw me though, because Yumi, I think, is a great example of figure it out as you go and get little bits and hints as you trickle along. So I like that too. Sunlit Man is another one where it's like, yeah, I like that pacing of information, but I think I want to get a sit down and take me deep into the lore, which I kind of equate to the latter of your examples there. So I said no to this of, I prefer you to sit me down and talk me through it because I'm afraid I'm not going to get that level of detail elsewhere.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Paul said yes.
I think Paul said no. And I think it's for a similar reason as you. He doesn't want the magic system to overshadow other things. And so if you can explain it, set it up, Mistborn style, get back to the story, use the magic system that you explained, I think he likes that. Not that he doesn't like the other stories. I think he does, but it's a no for Paul.
I'm getting confused because Paul said yes because of Mistborn. He likes it getting spelled out for him in that. Am I confusing the question now?
Yes is the hinted side. The statement is, I prefer to have my magic system rules hinted at rather than explained.
Oh, okay. Paul said no.
So that's two no's?
Correct.
Final answer. Okay. I did say no.
Okay.
I did say no. Ultimately, if it's the slider bar and you're, 50 points this way or 50 points this way, I'm like 1 point skewed towards the explained side because I prefer to find things pieced together. However, I don't like to go back retroactively or try to consciously think and piece everything together. So it's a bit challenging for me. So ultimately, that's why I went with that. So y'all were both right on that one.
877, Elliot's leading, I believe.
Yes, he got both of us that time. He nailed us, but we each got one.
All right, Elliot.
All right. So not too long ago, as of the time we're recording this, we had an election in the United States where we voted, or hopefully everybody listening here voted. So, voting question for you. If you were voting for president and the ticket, the two parties that you're voting for, the two candidates are, I'm also cheating a little bit on this question. It's not a yes or no. You're picking between the two candidates.
It's fine.
Yeah. Option number one, the candidate for president is Hoyd for president. And his running mate is Renarin.
Okay.
Wow.
Hoyd Renarin, or Hoyd Colin, I guess, maybe. And they're running against Marisi for president with Wax as her vice president, which is what, like Combs Ladrian or something like that?
Combs Ladrian versus Sephandrius Colin.
Yep. Who are you voting for?
On Char or of the United States.
I'm intentionally leaving that vague. I'm hoping that doesn't play in too much. It's leadership of wherever you and them are at. Like, okay. I don't try and put them into like the United States.
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Got it.
Who's the better president, vice president pair?
This is a great question and I hate it. I thought I had a knee-jerk reaction of an answer to this, but it's actually harder than I think.
Mm-hmm. I knew I'd get you with that too.
This is kind of a tough one, but I do have my answers.
I've also got you guys, so we're ready whenever. You ready, Trevor?
Yep.
Okay. Paul, let's go after Paul first. I think this is a no-brainer for Paul. This is instantly, he is gravitating towards Maracy and Wax. He enjoyed Mistborn Air 2. He was impressed by what he saw from Maracy and Wax. He likes Hoid. He likes Renard. Who doesn't, right? But Paul, the logic kicks in, and Maracy and Wax take his vote, no question.
Fascinating. Paul had a no-brainer for this one in favor of Hoid and Renarin. Paul is a Mistborn Era 2 hater. He has no faith in Wax and Maracy as president. He's going for Hoid, the all-knowing Hoid, and Renarin there to keep the balance against the crazy Hoid. Paul went for that all day.
I am so honored that both of you were convinced unanimously that your prediction was right and they're the two opposite sides. So, if you asked this question, who do I like the most? I'm writing down Hoid and Renarin.
Dang it.
If you're asking me who am I voting for on the presidential ticket, I am voting for Madam President Maracy and First Gentleman Waxillium Ladrian.
I don't believe
that's
you.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, I wrote it down. I have way more.
Show me your ballot.
Yep. Here we go. You can't even read it.
You can ask somebody that.
There it is. Yeah. I have more faith in them as normal standard leaders. Renarin's a bit, I love Renarin, but he's a bit questionable at the moment. If you had asked me, if we specified this was Cosmere wide, I would have changed my answer. Because I trust Hoid with massive Cosmere affairs, perhaps. But
sure.
That was now, my answer.
Now, here's the funny thing. Trevor voted the exact same way as you for the exact same reason. Emotionally, he loves Hoid. He loves Renarin. I stuck Renarin in there to make it attractive for Trevor. Trevor would never vote for Hoid as much as he loves Hoid. Therapy sessions with Hoid, some of his favorite sections in the entire Cosmere. Does he have faith in Hoid's leadership ability? None. Zero. But he has a ton of faith in Renarin, so he's really drawn towards them. But he also knows his gut kicks in that Maracy and Wax are the better administrative leaders, and he voted for Colm's Ladrian.
Okay. I wrote down Maracy and Wax, and then I crossed it out for Trevor and wrote Hoid and Renarin right afterward, simply based off of, I don't know, fun, excitement, Cosmere implications. I really can't put my finger on it, but that's what I'm going with.
My knee-jerk reaction as those names were called out is, as soon as you led with Hoid, I immediately said, all right, I'm voting for whatever ticket two is. There's no way I am voting for Hoid as president. But then I sat and thought about it for a little bit, and I'm like, all right, I want the most intelligent, you know, well-informed person ought to be in charge, which actually led me to go for Maracy and Waxillium, because they have just some level-headed, intense geniuses in their cabinet that I know are, like, the Ghostbloods are are going to be an issue, and Maracy knows about them, and Hoid like kind of shrugs them off. So Maracy Waxillium is the ticket for me.
Okay. Well, Trevor, I guess we have to figure out what Elliot was thinking. I believe that Elliot went to the polls and voted just like we did for Maracy and Waxillium. Like we said, it's too level-headed of a ticket. It's too safe and smart, good values, I guess. You know, I think Elliot went to the polls and cast his ballot for them.
I agree. Elliot voted for Maracy and Waxillium. Although, if he's about to say the other one, I do remember a little soundbite of Elliot saying Renar in top five characters in the Cosmere. So if he flips parties on me, that's why.
And Elliot of 2021 is still not wrong. Renarin is definitely top five characters out there. However, I would not want to see Renarin in an office of government. Would I follow Renarin into the pits of hell? Yeah, I probably would. Do I want to stick that poor guy in an administrative desk job? No. No, I don't. It is definitely Maracy and Wax.
I mean, the Maracy and Wax ticket is really just Maracy and Maracy. Wax is not.
Actually, yes. You talked about like, oh, it's a level head ticket. I'm over here going, yeah. Wax is a little off, more off the cuff than maybe you're giving him credit for. But Maracy, oh yeah, I got all the faith in her.
I think if you had, well, I agree. Wax is a bit rambunctious. I feel like if the person, the vice president nominee was a bit more left field chaotic, say Wayne. Totally different question we have here, but yeah, I just trust both of those characters too much. I don't trust Hoid as much, you know. But that's a fun question. I like that.
That was a good one. 889, I believe, is the score. I'm having trouble keeping track of these, but
I'm keeping track of my own at least.
Elliot, are you 9 or 10?
I have 10 on my board, but now you're making me question myself.
I think you're right. I think he's at 10. He just got both of those. Yeah. Right. You got both of ours correct.
Yeah. So. All right. 8, 8, 10. My question. Elantris 2 has more inspirational potential than Wind and Truth.
Potential.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have my answers.
I think this one's fairly straightforward. Now I'm going to get surprised.
All right, let's do Elliot first, Paul.
Okay. So Elantris 2 does have a lot of potential. And I feel like Elliot might be trying to prey off of... Sorry, I think Trevor might be trying to prey off of me and Elliot being very huge fans of Elantris and the themes and inspirational sides maybe of Elantris. However, I said no. I think that Elliot will see more potential with the characters in Stormlight, going into Stormlight 5, than in Elantris 2.
I also said no for Elliot.
It is a no because you said potential. We've got more characters in Wind and Truth that are headed for inspirational moments. Therefore, there's more potential. Could Elantris 2 have like a high point that tops a Wind and Truth moment? Maybe. But I've got just way more going on in Wind and Truth, which has more momentum behind it. Therefore, more potential. Sorry to get science-y on you.
To the volume of words setting up Wind and Truth is too heavy?
Yeah, more or less.
All right, let's do Paul, Elliot.
Paul said no. I think Paul is much more invested in our Stormlight characters than he is Elantris. Not that he's not interested. I think he is. I think he was intrigued by Elantris. He rated it high, like we just said. But I think Stormlight has more of his interest grabbed.
I actually said yes for Paul because I think there's too much happening in the background for Paul that he doesn't care about in Stormlight. I think there's quite a bit of clutter for Paul at Stormlight. Like the highs are high, don't get me wrong, but Elantris was more purified percentage of good for Paul that I think he sees more potential in Elantris too.
Trevor, you have a really good point, but I did say no.
Bummer.
I think it is largely build up, amount of characters, amount of moments that I know we will see in Stormlight 5 as monumental and inspirational, I think is just far more vast and immense than what I am. We don't really have a set premise for Elantris 2, and I think that hinders. I think maybe if I had more context for what that might look like, maybe my answer could change. But as is, I said no. Though for you, Trevor, I originally wrote no, then I scratched it out and wrote yes. I wrote yes for you just because you've mentioned wanting to see, which I guess in the you mentioned wanting to see young parents in the Cosmere as a True. Really good inspirational example. I think that was mentioned before we did see Wax and Steris as a little bit of young parents. That wasn't too much time spent on that, but some time. So maybe that's different. But that alone made me think maybe you would see more potential in a Raiden, Serene, young parents, inspirational story.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Trevor's brought this up a couple of times that he's excited about Elantris, the next book. Even though he's rated Elantris 1 a little bit lower, I think he's excited about those characters and where they could go. So Trevor says yes. Shockingly, actually.
I did say yes for the reasons that you're saying. And I might be lowballing Wind and Truth.
Yes.
But I think a lot of our huge inspirational moments with the characters I really care about have already happened. And are not going to happen in Wind and Truth. So for that reason, and for the reasons that you guys said, I actually think Elantris 2 has more story to tell than Wind and Truth does, actually.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I also think that it's Wind and Truth is so on top of the hype train right now that it is hard to even conceptualize comparing it with an Elantris 2.
Right. All right, Paul, your turn.
Oh, that's my question. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Okay, here's my question. The best secret project that we will get has already been written by Brandon Sanderson. Is that a fair question?
Yeah,
that's a fair statement. The best secret project we will get has already been written. So that would be that Brandon's not going to write one better than he already has.
Paul's just trying to get a soundbite on us that he can play back 20 years from now when Brandon writes that gem.
Yeah.
This one's easy for Paul. I don't know about Elliot. I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. Trevor. What you said you don't know about Elliot. I'm putting you on the spot now. What do you think Elliot is going to say to this?
Elliot is secretly a huge sci-fi fan and is really looking forward to science and mechanics in future standalone Cosmere novels. And if we got one in the space age, it will be right down his alley. Rockets, engineering, etc. No, the best secret project has not been written yet from Elliot.
I also said no for a little bit of different reasons. You make a great point with the sci-fi argument, but obviously Brandon Sanderson is going to write many more books. And I imagine that Elliot will anticipate that one of them will stand above the ones at least that we currently have?
I'm going to surprise you both then and say yes, for a reason you guys aren't thinking about. I think there are far fewer secret projects in the future than you might think. And yes, we have another 30 years of Brandon writing books. I think that man is only going to get busier and busier. And unless another COVID-19 happens, he won't have time to do more secret projects. Is he still going to crank out books at a ridiculous rate? Yes. Yes, he is. But his backlog is massive now of how many books he needs to write. I don't think we see very many more. And so based off of that, the ones we've got are the best we will see.
I had a question on what do you consider a secret project? Like a standalone novel that he didn't tell us about, or like, I don't know.
That is fair. I probably could have been more specific. In my head, I thought of course, the four we have are true secret projects. And then what, his Seventh of the Dusk is the one I think of as like Secret Project 5.
Yeah.
And so then anything onward that's not a continuation of the other stories, but a standalone novel drop into the Cosmere. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be labeled secret or be completely secretive, but of that nature. Does that change your answer, Trevor?
No.
Okay. Then, Elliot, what do you think that Trevor would say to this?
I think Trevor said yes. I think Trevor enjoyed the secret projects that we've got enough that he is riding that high and saying, yes, we've seen the best. There's going to come more that he does enjoy, but things like Sunlit Man, I think, are pretty high on his list.
I said no. I actually thought pretty definitively for both of you that the answer would be no. I was wrong with Elliot, so I may be wrong again. I think Trevor's going to have a lot of faith. Elliot's right that Sanderson has a lot in his backlog that he has to write, but also he never ceases to surprise us with how much he can write, how many new ideas he has. I think Trevor's going to see the longevity of Brandon's authoring career and say that there is going to be a secret project to top the current ones at some point in the future.
Paul, you're correct. I did say no. And that's simply a utilitarian of each secret project I've gotten. I'm ignoring Secret Project 2. Each secret project I've gotten, I enjoyed more than the last. Fair. And Isles of Emberdark, Secret Project 5, is apparently way more Cosmere involved than even Sunlit. So I am prepared to be blown away by that.
All right.
Paul, you said no. You have faith in, well, for a different reason from Elliot. So I thought Elliot said no. Paul, you said no because you're like a low-key Secret Project hater. You didn't rank them very highly, so your bar is lower than ours. So you said no.
Now, Paul said yes because he channeled his wife, Alex, who absolutely loves Tress and is like her favorite book of all time. I don't know if she quite said it that strongly, but Paul was thinking of Alex in that moment and voted yes.
Elliot, you got the right answer for the wrong reasons. I guess it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there, you know.
That's right.
I did say yes, but while Alex would, my wife would certainly vouch for Tress as being the best Cosmere book ever, probably not to be topped. I did not say that. I said it for my love for Yumi and the Nightmare Painter, I think was a fantastic book. And I don't anticipate there being another secret project where I like the world and the characters and how the characters develop as much as that. I could just be flat out wrong, but that's my guesstimate that will be the case. So I said yes.
Sounds good. Elliot's pulling away from us here now.
Let's go.
13 to 11 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Elliot, your question.
Okay. Stepping outside of like specific questions on characters and things, if here's my yes or no. If the Stormlight Archive specifically, Stormlight Archive, was never adapted to any film or series of any kind, you would be okay with that? Yes or no? How badly do you want some adaptation in film or series? You would be okay with never having a visual adaptation.
All right. This game so far has really depended on our honesty. And there is no question that tests that more for me than this one.
Better hook up a lie detector to him now.
It's important to be honest, okay? Think of your oaths.
I'm ready.
I'm also ready.
All right. We should start with Paul. I don't think we've taken him first yet in a little while. I think Paul would not be okay with no adaptation of the Stormlight Archive ever. I think, Paul, you've gotten too excited too many times on this podcast about visual scenes that we might see from these Stormlight books. So you definitely want some kind of adaptation at some point.
I also said no for Paul, that he greatly anticipates some sort of adaptation. Doesn't matter what that is. Could be a VR rhythm game, but he still wants a Stormlight adaptation.
You're right, Trevor. I've been waiting for Guitar Hero Stormlight Edition, the rhythm game.
Yeah, the rhythms of Roshar.
You are both correct. I had to think about this for a little bit, and my first gut instinct was, yeah, that's okay. You know, the books are such a great medium for this story. However, the scale, the story, the characters of this book, of this series, the Stormlight Archive, I believe really deserves to make it into high quality film production at some point. Not anytime soon, I don't anticipate, for the Stormlight Archive, but at some point I do believe it does deserve to be on screen. So I said no. Congrats.
Trevor, what do we think Trevor thinks? Paul, what do you think Trevor, how do you think he feels about a movie or a series?
I wrestled with Trevor's a bit. I said yes. I do believe that Trevor is content with these just being the best books out there for him, and that is okay. This may be cheating a little bit. He made his video essay about giving a movie, like one of these books, to a studio, letting them test it out, so on and so forth. However, I think if that doesn't happen, I think Trevor would still be all right with it and understanding that the books are a great medium for the story.
I think Trevor says no. And I think initially his response is what you just said, Paul. He can get okay with that adaptation. But then as time goes on, he starts to itch. He starts to twitch. His eyebrow starts to pop. And he just
found a studio.
Yes. He wants more Stormlight. Brandon has moved on to other things and is writing Mistborn Era 7. And Trevor's like, Stormlight, I have to have it. And just would not be able to handle it if Stormlight did not make it on the screen at some point.
Elliot, can you reread the question?
I can. You would be fine if the Stormlight Archive is never adapted into a film or series. You'd be okay with that?
Yes. I would be okay with that. However, if you had said the Stormlight Archive is never adapted into any adaptation, I would have said no.
Mm.
I am holding out for the immersive video game of the Stormlight Archive where I get to walk across Roshar at my own pace. That is what I really desperately want. I would be a fan and I would go to the Stormlight Archive blockbuster or whatever. But there is no way you can do I don't care what your budget is. I don't care what you're doing. There's no way you're doing the Stormlight Archive justice in visual movie format. However, there are people just as ambitious as me out there about the Stormlight Archive that are also programmers. So I am definitely holding out for the Stormlight Archive video game.
Fair enough.
Okay, for Elliot, Trevor, what's your two cents? Is he going to be okay or not with if they don't make a film or show adaptation? Is Elliot going to be okay?
Elliot is okay, but he's not that big of a movie guy. Like he enjoys movies, but he's not a huge movie guy, so he's fine.
Okay. I said no, because I feel like Elliot is going to have a sense, almost like I did, of the... It's too epic and grand of a story that I think he would feel it deserves a visual storyline. There's too many big epic moments. Think of the storms. Think of the Stormlight scenes, the fight action sequences. Too much that I think he's going to feel it deserves a moment, a cinema moment.
I had to include this question because I wrestle with it hard. Like really hard. I go back and forth on this. Paul, I do think exactly what you said there. This does deserve to be adapted. It does deserve to reach a wider audience. These messages are so powerful. But I could get okay with no visual adaptation because I think there is a simple beauty in a story only being able to live in our imaginations. And those imaginations all being slightly different, but all requiring a bit of participation on our end and our own minds having to contribute to this story by coming up with what we think this world views. And a movie does add so much, but also take away a little bit at the same time.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's do one more question from each of us. And I will pick. Zeth is far too unstable to take care of Nightblood, and Nightblood should be confiscated from him ASAP.
And you were accusing me of fishing for points earlier.
If my tally is correct, I am 4 behind. So I'm ready.
Okay, I'm also ready.
I am ready, and I'm very ready to predict that Trevor says yes, that Zeth is going to be very destructive in this book at some point, and having Nightblood in his possession is extremely dangerous.
I also said yes for the exact same reasons. He thinks Zeth is too unstable to wield Nightblood, which I feel like there's an argument that anyone is about too unstable to wield Nightblood. But I think Zeth in particular, I think he's going to say yes.
I think if anyone were to sit in a room with Zeth for more than 5 minutes, they would try to sneak Nightblood out the back door immediately. Yes, absolutely. Nightblood should not be in the custody of anyone else in the Cosmere, maybe, than Zeth. All right, Paul said no. Paul is a Zeth believer. He Paul even has a like a blind eye for Zeth. Like Zeth is clearly unstable, and that Paul's like, nah, he's my little like he's my man.
Oh yeah. I'm on the exact same boat. Paul deep down knows that Zeth is too unstable, but he will not admit that for a second. And so his answer is no.
Zeth is misunderstood. He's misunderstood. Okay. I'm not covering this up. All right. And he's misunderstood. I said no. I think we will see. You all laugh now. You will see at the end of Wind and Truth that he
is dead corpse.
He has far more fortitude, mental fortitude, than we give him credit for. And he has been used and abused more than any other character. And justice for Zeth. Justice for Zeth. Yeah, yeah, y'all. Trevor was fishing for the free point on that one. That's fair. I give it to him.
All right. What did Elliot answer, though, Paul?
Okay. This may also be my blind eye for Zeth as well, but I think that I knew that you were a yes. I think Elliot said no. The confiscated immediately. I think Elliot is willing to give Zeth a little bit of a chance at least. Yeah, that's my prediction. I think he said no.
He said yes.
We might need like a judge's opinion here because I wrote down yes on my whiteboard, but Paul, you like kind of explained my thought process. I think that Zeth is the right person to be holding Nightblood right now. I would not want Nightblood in the possession of anyone else right now. Zeth is so driven and so single-minded one track that he actually is the one who can resist all of Nightblood's pressure to murder every single living thing. But I think Zeth is headed for another breakdown. I think Zeth has had an upswing. We're going to carry that upswing into Wind and Truth, and then he is going to come smashing down and wreck a lot of things. And if we haven't gotten Nightblood's out of his possession by then, it's going to go really badly. So I was thinking of that event when I said, yes, we need to get out of his possession, but you included the word immediately in there.
Technically, you said no because the question says ASAP.
Yeah.
So I actually think Paul gets the point.
I think maybe.
I agree. I think I get the point.
I think I have to change my answer to no based on how you explained your own question, Paul.
All right, Paul, what's your question?
Okay, let's see here. I actually have a couple written down, but let me pick just one. Okay. I'm going to go with this one. In Stormlight 5, it will be best for Adolin to become a Knight Radiant.
Best for who?
Best for the story. Like for the story. I guess in your opinion, for the story, will be best if Adolin Colin swears an ideal, becomes a Knight Radiant.
I am ready.
Okay. Elliot, let's talk about Trevor. What do you think? Do you think he believes that it's best for Adolin to become a Knight Radiant in Stormlight 5?
Trevor's torn. He likes the fact that Adolin is not a Radiant because it's different. He, however, is too invested in Maya. He likes Maya. He wants Maya to come back, and he knows the best way for that to happen is for Adolin to become a Radiant. So he says yes.
Okay. I said no. I think Trevor's going to see value in there being an impactful and important character who is not a Knight Radiant.
I did say no. So congrats to Paul. However, I would say no for a lot of characters, not specifically Adolin. I think we have too many Knights Radiant, to be honest. It's soured a little bit since the Way of Kings, since everyone and their cousin Huyo is a Night Radiant. So there should be fewer in the world.
Okay. Trevor, what do you think about Elliot?
Elliot said no for the same reasons I just did. It is better for Adolin to be unique. So he said no.
I agree. I wrestled with this a little bit because I think Elliot will highly value Maya, like he was mentioning, and for the restoration of Maya through maybe a bond, through maybe becoming a Radiant. I think it's also a Lightweaver sprint, right? So you'd have the cute Lightweaver couple in Adolin and Shallan. But all that aside, I did stick with no. I don't think he necessarily thinks it will be best for Adolin to become a Night Radiant.
Maya's a cultivation spread.
Oh, my edged apologies. Answer. My bad.
I predict that he will, because I think him coming back to be a Radiant and bonding Maya will be pivotal to the story. Do I think that will be best for the story? No, for the reasons you guys just said. I agree. I do think we need more strong characters who don't have superpowers.
Paul said no.
Paul said yes, and I have absolutely no reasoning behind it. I just guessed.
I love it. I did say no. I kind of was explaining my own reasoning, I think, when I was talking about Trevor a little bit of, I think it's good, even welcome, for there to be an impactful character who is not even a Night Radiant. However, if you're asking what I want to see, yeah, I want to see Maya restored and Adolin bonded to Maya. I think that'd be great, but I said no.
All right. One question to go. And our score is me with 14 and Paul and Elliot tied at 16, I believe. So everything's still
16. Are we allowed to even go further than that, or do we have to stop there?
Yeah, you guys have to get them both wrong, and I have to get them both right. So we have 3 16s.
Yeah,
there you go. All right.
I think I'm going to say it's rigged and there was a script the whole time.
Yeah, true. I know, right?
Sorry, right, it's not Mike Tyson. This is not a script.
That's a very Zoomer reference of you, Elliot.
Yeah, very up on his modern events. Current events.
Am I asking the question?
You are. Final question.
No pressure, okay. By the way. Closing this out. Final question.
Speaking of breaking the script, I'm going to go a little off book here. I'm sorry. I'm going to break your format. Go with me. I think it's going to be a fun question. Stick with me, though. Little complicated. Got a scenario for you, and I need you to tell me how you're going to respond to this scenario. It's multiple choice, so it's not like you can just make up anything. We got to guess. You'll understand here in a second, but go with me. You're in a blizzard. The snow is pelting down. You're freezing cold. It is
bingo like card.
This is fantasy land for me, but
it is. You got to use your imagination here, Paul. The snow is pouring down. It's cold. You're like in danger of your life. You're about to get frostbite. You're stumbling through the blizzard and you come across an abandoned house in the middle of nowhere. You go inside the house. The blizzard is still going. The door does not shut all the way. The door is a little bit broken, so it's like kind of swinging on its hinge. There is also a stove with a fire in it that is going, warming up the place, but it's about to go out. You have with you in your bag exactly 3 things. You have the Rhythm of War. You have the Hero of Ages. And you have Warbreaker. You didn't bring anything else with you, but you have those 3 books. You need to prop shut the door. You need to wedge it shut so that the snow and the wind doesn't blow in. You need to feed the fire so that it doesn't go out. And you can stay warm. And you also need to not fall asleep, because you'll like succumb to your hypothermia. So you need to read something. What do you do with the 3 books in what order? You need to prop the door shut. You need to feed the fire. You need to read something. And you have The Rhythm of War, The Hero of Ages, and Warbreaker. Choose wisely.
This is going to hurt some feelings.
Yeah, there's no easy answer here.
I'm ready.
I'm almost ready. One moment. This one takes a little more writing and thinking each person.
Got to write some things down and predict what the other people will do. Life and death scenario. This is big, important.
I think Elliot will have the least controversial one here, actually.
Maybe.
Okay. I have my answers now. Also, how do we score points on this? Is this you get a point for each exact right match you have on each person, or?
You guys are the ones tied. If you want to give me a foot in, then I could pass you.
It could be a wild card round where it's just any one you match correctly is a point.
All right. Elliot, who are we starting with? It's your question.
I want to hear what you guys think I'm going to do first.
Okay.
I took a very practical route that life or death, I think Elliot is going to burn Rhythm of War simply based off of page count, how much more firepower you could get over time by tearing an extra, 500 more pages or something. I think he's going to use the Hero of Ages to prop the door, and you think he's going to cozy up next to the fire and read Warbreaker.
Interesting. Elliot is going to read Rhythm of War. He's far more interested in that one than either of the other two. He is going to prop the door open with the Hero of Ages, and he's going to burn Warbreaker.
Interesting. Neither one of you guys got it completely correct. I am definitely going to read The Rhythm of War. That one, I don't think I could bring myself to throw that one in the fire. I've been rereading that one, prepping for Wind and Truth, and it's climbing in my esteem. Rhythm of War is
from S tier to S tier.
Yes. Warbreaker, though, is too small to keep me alive with a fire. You're right, Paul. Page count is going to matter, but it's Hero of Ages that goes into the fire with slightly more page count than Warbreaker. And so a bit of a challenge to maybe prop the door with Warbreaker, but I would figure out how to do it. Paul, on the other hand, does not hesitate to toss Rhythm of War into the fire for the same reason. He realizes he needs a lot of pages in there and doesn't feel too bad about tossing Rhythm of War into the fire. He does look over, though, at the Hero of Ages and thinks that he needs to hang on to that one, keep it safe, but he doesn't think Warbreaker is going to be big enough to prop the door, so he props the door with Hero of Ages, knowing he can go read it later, and he sits down to read Warbreaker and remind himself how clever he is that he realized that Shallan is Light Song.
Paul burns Rhythm of War because he's a practical lad and reads the Hero of Ages and props the door open with Warbreaker.
Trevor, you are on the money. You're both right that I burn Rhythm of War. I think if you're not burning Rhythm of War, you made the wrong choice objectively. I'm a very practical guy, and it's if you need to make it through the night, you need to, you know, page by page, tear, wad, burn, throw it in the fire to burn. You're going to get way more firepower from the book. It's not. I would choose to read Rhythm of War over any of the other books, but we're talking serious scenario, burning the book, propping with Warbreaker, and reading Hero of Ages.
Just for clarification, going into this final set, I'm in the lead with 18 to 17 to 16.
Come back.
Yeah, this is wasn't my best suggestion to say. Just get a point for each one.
Well, you can't score any off of your answer, though. So let's see what we can
see how unpredictable I was.
Yeah, let's see. So, Trevor, what does Trevor do? So I think Trevor looks in his bag and really wants to read Warbreaker. He feels like he understands the other two fairly well. And Warbreaker is actually what looks the most interesting to him in that moment. So he does that. He can't quite bring himself to burn a Stormlight Archive book. So he knows that he has to throw. Actually, this is probably a quick decision. He's not a huge fan of Mistborn Era 1. So Hero of Ages goes in the fire, and then he takes the brick of Rhythm of War and props the door with it.
Okay. I way too highly value this practicality thing. Like I said, if you're not burning Rhythm of War, you're making the wrong logical decision, because you need, if you can only you pick, like, if I thought about it, I would have burnt two books, said screw the door, maybe propped the door and burnt two books. You know, however, I was going to play by the rules. I said burn Rhythm of War because that's the correct answer, not because I think that's what Trevor chose. Then I think he propped Hero of Ages and is reading Warbreaker.
Paul, you almost clutched it. You almost clutched it. I am a practical person. And so, of course, you grab Rhythm of War twice as heavy as either other volume, and you're like, I need to survive longer. You burn Rhythm of War. However, both of you overestimated my interest in Warbreaker. I am propping the door with Warbreaker and reading Hero of Ages.
Oh, man. I thought I had at least a little bit of your red on that one, and I got none.
You see, I don't have a hesitation burning Rhythm of War simply because I need to maximize my chances. And I know Rhythm of War, so I don't need to be reading it. So,
yeah.
You know.
And you can get home and you can buy a brand new copy of Rhythm of War, and you're going to get double the fuel power minimum.
But it's about the symbolism of the act. Can you bring yourself to toss it into the flaming inferno?
No, you won't find any sentimentality over here. No,
Elliot,
this is... You aren't going to find a shred of sentimentality.
You burn a book?
I will burn it with the full knowledge that I will be warm again on the next day when the blizzard is over. The dog and the dragon is going in the fire.
I will quote the dog and the dragon that I'm cozy up to the fire saying, I bet no dragon had it this good anyways. All right. This bad. It's probably not a fun scenario, but that's a fun question. Like I said, if you're not burning Rhythm of War, obviously it's not that dire of a situation. You're just enjoying a fun blizzard.
I just want to highlight this again with the point tally that you guys decided on that last question. I lead with 18-17-17 at the end of this game. What a crazy comeback from me.
What a comeback. Cinderella story.
Yeah. Well, way to go, Trevor. What, did you get 6 points that round? 5 points that round? You got three? You got all three of mine.
I got 6 points that round.
Wow. Okay.
Dang.
Well, I guess you deserve it.
Well earned.
I got 1 point for reference.
No, I got four. I got 4 points that round.
Okay. Yep, I got one. So.
All right.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have our first Wind and Truth episode next week before we go off to Dragonsteel. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little piece of content. Maybe we'll do this again sometime. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot.
My pleasure.
Hope to do this again. It was fun. Farewell.